was I asked him how he met Mrs. Hain, of course, before she was Mrs. Hain, and then that that ended up being I think he did pretty well for remembering as much as he hit the high points, and I think he did well with that. And I know for me, I'll get talking about something that happened, and I'll go from this topic to that topic, and I'll have a hard time finding my way back out of the woods. But it was good, and he shared some of his testimony, which was powerful. John chapter 14 is where we're going to start again this afternoon. John 14. And thank you for the pastor for the opportunity to be able to finish out this message. We were looking at this thought of a place for you. And at the end of chapter 13, Peter had promised the Lord. He said, I'll lay down my life for thy sake. He had told Jesus, and Jesus answered and said, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And this is his words to Peter. But then right after he says this to Peter now, he says in chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And so we're going to look at this place that Jesus has provided for us. And Pastor Hain, would you pray for this service again here?
Father in heaven, it's but by your grace that we can receive from you what it is that you want to give to us. And we pray that you'll do that. Lead Brother Thad, help him, dear Father, to share what he has gotten from you and what you have put on his heart for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, we're just going to keep looking at this thought here, and I could review. We went back to the life of David, where he said he wanted to build a house for God, and God told Nathan that it wasn't for him to build a house, but that God would build David a house, and gave him a great promise there. We looked at the Old Testament prophet that goes, I can't remember his name, Hosea. That he said that he wasn't a prophet, but the Lord called him. The Lord took him and gave him a place to serve. So two thoughts that we had. God has room for you, and God has plans to keep you for the long haul. And we see that in many different scriptures. Think about this thought, though. I know for me, a lot of times I have a hard time sometimes wrapping my mind around all these things. And by the way, the message this morning, Stephen, was excellent. A lot of scriptures there, but it's a lot to digest, right? It's a lot to digest, and there's a lot there. But some powerful thoughts, and specifically what stood out to me is waiting with expectation, really waiting, expecting God to do something, and continue to seek. How long is too long to wait to see God do something? But there are a lot of thoughts here, and so I'm just trying to sort of find my place of where we left off and where we're going. I do have quite a few more scriptures here, but God has plans to keep us. He's not going to get to a certain place and say, "Yeah, I'm through with you now," and replace us. No, he wants us to be part of His work, and I'm thankful for that. But think about this: how can the Lord Jesus always have room for you and me, and we never get in His way? Right? I mean, I have a big family, and sometimes I'm working, and Isaiah, he does better with this now. Where is Isaiah? He's over here, sitting with the cooks. But he would, especially when he was younger, and I'd be swinging a hammer or doing some demo, and he'd walk right up underneath my elbow, you know, like, hey, Daddy. And it's like, oh, I need some space, right? Because he's going to get hurt. I'd have to ask him to kind of step back a little bit so that I could work. But Jesus wants us to be with Him. He said, "Where I am, there ye may be also." That is an awesome truth. Here's what I believe is a principle of Scripture is that He has done, the Lord Jesus has done, a whole lot of work and preparation and planning to make this possible, that we can be a part of his work and we don't get in the way. There's been a whole lot of work that's gone into that. Thankful for men like Pastor Asquith, who have stayed in a place for some years and served and allowed God to work through them. But I'd also say this, that the place that God's provided for the Asquith family, and even Pastor Asquith, this is his testimony. He prayed that God would give him a place to where his family could be reconciled and rebuilt. And I believe God gave him that. He answered that prayer. And this place has benefited greatly through Pastor Asquith and through his walk with the Lord. But also the place has been a great blessing to him. And it's a place that God's provided. And it's not just a happenstance. It just didn't happen to be that way, that he was just driving down and he saw this sign that a Bible-believing church or something. And that didn't just happen. God set that up. God knew that that was going to happen, and he was working a plan to putting pieces together so that Pastor Asquith could pastor this church and could see his family reconciled. It's an awesome thing to be able to just kind of be a fly on the wall and witness some of this and how God's been working in my life at the same time. It's an awesome, awesome thing. But God has used this place, and it's not a coincidence. It's that God planned it. God has worked to provide a place of service for him and many other men. And so I believe that this place has been a great gift to him and other men of God, even as he has been a help to this place. God places men with perfect precision and grace, and that placing that God does is an awesome thing to witness, and is also an awesome thing to experience personally. God has a place for you. You can experience that place, seek his heart, and pray and ask for God's leading to know where he would have you be. We looked at Joseph, and when the father supposed father of Jesus, Mary's husband, and when Jesus was to be born, how he would have wrestled with not having a place to give birth, but that place had meaning. And this was a thought that I didn't share last week, but it's an important thought, that sometimes when it seems like things are all falling apart, God may be putting things into place.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the things that bothers me about sometimes a lot of the preaching that I hear in churches that I'm at is that as things get closer and closer to the end, it's almost like preachers and Christians have the idea, well, things are just keep falling apart and falling apart and falling apart. And at some point, it's going to fall apart so bad, God's just going to throw in the towel and say, okay, I'm done. That's not what's happening. And the book of Hebrews says, God having provided some better thing for you, that they without us should not be made perfect. God has a purpose and a plan. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Mm-hmm. The end of a thing shows the wisdom of the beginning. When Nebuchadnezzar had the dream about that great image, and the image was he was the head of gold, and then it got kind of worse and worse as it went down. The foundation followed. Right? The foundation followed. And what's going to happen in the end? Things aren't all just falling apart. God has a purpose and a plan for you. And where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Amen.
Amen. And so I just want to encourage you with that thought of, hey, here's Joseph. And he's saying, why are we without, we can't even go to an inn. I mean, not only am I not at home, but I mean, we're out traveling, we're having a baby, and we can't even get a hotel. I mean, we got nothing. We're in a stable. But it was all falling into place. And those shepherds heard that message from the angels that, behold, this child's born, a sign unto them. It was a great thing. It was a wonderful thing. And so that's another thought there. In Luke chapter 22, we looked at that already. He said that with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He had desire to do that, and there was that place provided for him. So be aware of the great labor that's taken place to give you a place in God's eternal work. It's an awesome thing. It's a wonderful thing. And Nick and I were talking about just the other night Just what an awesome privilege it is to be able to preach, to be able to open the Word of God.
Right.
I'm a loser. I'm a sinner. I am not worthy to do anything for God, and yet God's provided a place for me to be able to preach at times. Pastor Asquith allows me the opportunity, and you've been gracious to listen this afternoon. But it is a great, great privilege, and I do not take it lightly. It's an awesome privilege, and I am not worthy. But there's been a lot of work that's taken place to allow me a true place of service that's actually going to last. And be aware that there's a great value to that place. Don't miss your opportunity to serve there. If God's provided a place for you to serve, don't waste it. Use that place. In John chapter 4, Jesus told his disciples that he must needs go through Samaria. And he met the woman at the well there. And I can get into that a lot. I've studied this at length, this chapter here. But I just wanted to point out toward the end of this chapter, he talks to the disciples about the harvest. Not quite the end. It's verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And I know often we have an emphasis on this in our time. Pastor Asquith has mentioned the time then is not like the time now, in that people were prepared more so in that time than they are in our day, when people don't even know the Ten Commandments. They don't even know the Word of God. And so we have to start a little further back often. However, that's not the case for everyone. And there are still many that are prepared and ready to be harvested. Yeah. Maybe it's not to the same extent that it was in the time of Christ, but there is a great preparation that's taken place. And it's important for us to be aware of those that are around us. Somebody may just need that last straw to make all the difference. You could say that one word that can make all the difference and change their lives.
Amen.
You don't know how much of a difference you can make to a person when you say one word. Just get involved in their life in one small way. God can use you mightily if you'll be aware of those that are around you. And notice this, verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. Yeah. I think about that other scripture. It says Paul planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase.
Yeah.
There's many people that have been working in this, right?
Yes.
Herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestowed no labor. But notice this, and I have it circled about 3 times in my Bible. Other men labored.
Amen.
And you're entered into their labors. Other men labored.
Yeah.
Pastor Asquith has been laboring to reach this area. Some people may have come for a while and they're gone. They can be any place around the world at this point. But maybe he started a labor in someone's life. And somewhere else that labor can be reached. Others have come here. I wasn't, the first time I heard the gospel wasn't here in Black Creek. God did a work in my life before I came here. But God's done a great work in my life since I've been in Black Creek.
Amen.
Other men labored in my life. And the church here has been a help and a blessing to me. But realize that God's at work around you. And other men are laboring and have labored. And you enter into their work. Don't take it for granted. Don't miss that opportunity. There's a place for you to serve. And Esther, you don't need to turn there, but Esther was going into the king to speak to the king, Ahasuerus, I think. I'm having a hard time remembering names today. She says, actually her uncle had spoken this to her. He said to Esther about going in and talking to the king to plead about this law that had come up against the Jews. He said, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, there shall come enlargement and deliverance. There shall arise enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy family's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?
Yeah.
That's what Mordecai told to Esther. He said, you don't know if you came to the kingdom for such a time as this. Hey, and when she went in, she said, if I perish, I perish. But she couldn't miss her opportunity.
Yeah.
That was her great opportunity.
Yeah.
She had come into the kingdom for such a time. There was an opportunity for her to be able to make a difference. And she did make a difference. And she went in and she said, well, if I perish, I perish. But she wasn't going to miss her opportunity. She wasn't going to miss her place. And then I really love this passage. And I wanted to get to this last week. But turn over to Acts. And I know you've seen this passage many times before. But just a certain thought that the Lord's impressed on my heart about this passage here. Acts chapter 16. Here Paul and Silas are in prison. Verse 25, we'll pick it up there. Paul and Silas are in prison. What kind of place is that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What kind of place is that? They're out there preaching the word. They want to have liberty to preach the word. And they're in prison. In chains. Basically in the pit down there. In the dungeon. And here they are at midnight. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You see, they had a purpose in the place they were at. It wasn't a mistake. God put them there on purpose.
That's good. That's real good.
They sang praises. They prayed together, and the prisoners heard them there in that place. Notice this. So they sang, they prayed in the place they were, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and the foundations of your prison will be shaken if you'll pray and seek the Lord in the place that you're at. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Of course they'd be fled. But notice this, Paul didn't miss his opportunity in the place he was. It was dark in there. It was hard to see in there. But Paul was where he was supposed to be, what he was supposed to be. And he didn't miss it. And I'm thankful for that. And notice verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Would God we'd all be here. Would God that the whole Asquith family could stand and rejoice and praise God with confidence in their heart, lift up holy hands without rampant doubting. Would God my family would. I pray for my children. Pray for my family. He said, we're all here. What kind of people were there? Criminals were there. Some of the worst people in society were there. Liars, thieves, murderers. All bad people. They're probably the people in prison. That's normally who goes to prison. I know Paul and Silas were there. I don't think they fit that category. But there were probably a lot of real rough characters in there. But they all stayed. Because they were moved by the spirit of Paul and Silas.
Yeah,
the singing and the prayer. God had touched their hearts. God had worked a great work through Paul and Silas. And none of those prisoners left. And notice this. Paul cried with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm. How did he even see him? It was dark in there. But he was paying attention. It was dark in that prison, but Paul was paying attention to the place where he was. He saw that. He saw that guard there, and he said, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in. Sounds like he was moved that God was doing a work in his heart there. He sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Sounds like he was prepared. Sounds like God had been doing a work on his heart right in that place. You see that? Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. They had some things to rejoice about because Paul and Silas ministered in the place that God had given them. They made good use of that place that God had for them. Notice also here that it says that the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. I was curious last night and did a little Bible study on the word awake. And so if you go back to Genesis, we'll find the first time the word awake was used. And I thought it was pretty interesting because this is Genesis 28, Genesis chapter 28. It's in verse 16. Jacob awaked out of his sleep. Genesis 28. And I thought of the word awaked here, and I hadn't seen it over in the book of Acts, but actually my Leanna said to me, or I asked the kids last night, I said, what word do you think is used for the first time in the Bible in this verse? And was it Bethany? Guessed it? Beth, she should know. Yeah, good job, Beth. She guessed awake. And I said, that's right. That's the first time the word awake or awaked is used in the Bible, is in this verse. And I began talking about it and just talking about how here's Jacob, and he's driven out from home, and he's on his own, and he really doesn't have any place. And so he sets the rocks down for pillows, and he's sleeping on the rocks, and he's got no place in the world. And God appears to him in a dream, and he realizes that this place is very special. He awoke out of sleep and said, surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. Well, my Leanna says to me yesterday after I got done with the Bible study, she said, I thought you were going to talk about the place. I said, I didn't even notice that was there. So that was interesting. And I started thinking about this. Wow, that is a very special place, isn't it? And then I looked at the context of it, and he says in verse 17, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place! Exclamation mark there. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And this is one of the first times we see the process of anointing taking place in the scriptures. This is a very important passage. There's a lot to be said here. But Jacob recognized that the place he was just a very, very significant place. It's very important. That was not just a mistake. Oh, you just happen to end up here in sleeping on some rocks here in the middle of nowhere. You got no place. You can't. You know, your mom said she's going to take the blame for you lying to your dad, but now your brother wants to kill you, and you got nowhere to go. Go live with your other family. Who knows how to get there? He didn't have any GPS. Didn't have any friends. He just out on his own, sleeping on the rocks, no place. But he did have a place. Yeah. God met with him in that place. That was Bethel. And he said, how dreadful is this place? That place has great value and great meaning. It's very, very important that we find the place and that we appreciate the place that God has for us. I also noticed this, and I'm just going to look at one other. We'll look at this verse in Matthew 10. I saw this morning. I didn't put together a new message for today. And so I'm just going through the scriptures that I had for last time I preached and just adding these others that the Lord's brought to my attention here this morning when Pastor in Sunday school was in Matthew 10. I noticed in verse 7 here, well, Jesus had called together all his disciples and he gave them this power. To against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. That's how chapter 10 starts. He said, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel in verse 6. And then verse 7, he says, as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, this is interesting because when Jesus sends his disciples out, he gives them a very specific message, and that specific message is this: preach. And he also gives them the message they're supposed to speak, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right here, God's doing something in this place, right?
Yeah.
That was the message that Jesus sent his disciples with. It was also the message that John the Baptist preached. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus made this statement himself and directed his disciples to say the same thing. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the place is very, very significant. And so we're also going to go to 1 Corinthians 15, and I'll finish up here. 1 Corinthians 15. And look down at verse 51, talking about serving the Lord and being patient in that place of service. Speaking about the rapture, the church, in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Must happen. Must happen.
Mm-hmm.
The things of your life aren't random. The things of your life aren't happenstance. It's not just a bunch of stuff going on. God has a purpose that this corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal would put on immortality. That is, that you can do something that will last further than just the little ripples of that stone. That God will allow you to be involved in eternal work. That your life will count for something that will last forever. This corruption must put an incorruption. This mortal must put an immortality. I know the direct context of this is talking about our bodies being changed and having a new body. But the place that God's given us can have significance if we'll follow his leading and find his power to do his work. And this time it can be eternal work. I believe that. I believe that we can see this principle also in this passage. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that's my burden, is that what I do would actually be significant for something beyond the temporal. And I believe that as any saved person has that same burden, that you say, you know, am I really making a difference? Can I tell you, if you will seek God's heart and find the place that he has for you, you can make a difference that will last. And your labor will not be in vain in the Lord. He has a place for you, and he has a purpose for that place. And so that's the thought here that the Lord's put on my heart.
Amen. Pastor Hayne won't hurt us at all to get out 10 minutes early.
No.
Won't hurt us at all.
No, it won't. It might not happen. depends on whether. We'll see. All right, now that chorus, or the song, it's not just a chorus. Grace, if you'll play through it, everybody get it out and look at it. If you're going to play through it one time so that we can see the words and how the tune goes together with it. Grace?